About 1996. And I decided it got really boring standing up there and telling everybody about the prom and everything. And I think it was also, and forgive me for checking my notes, I just want to make sure I get to everything. Somewhere around 2002, 2003, I started to realize what I could do with PowerPoint. I saw someone do a PowerPoint presentation. I was really excited about it. So my first experimentation, this was one of my earlier things. What I did was I asked all the faculty on my school for their prom photos and asked them each, and so what I did, do you recognize the Visa commercial that they used to do? And I figured through this, no one would really recognize our athletic director, our Spanish teacher, and people were really great about it, letting themselves in their most, really uncomfortable. I mean, look at this one. This is head of our foreign language department. She is our dean of students. And one of the things I told the kids when I was the prom coordinator was, I don't want you not going to the prom because you don't have a date. I said, that was me. I was not asked to the prom. I was an awkward kid in high school. I was the kid you went, as I walked down the hall. I was really awkward and uncomfortable. And one of the things that made it very difficult, among other things, was, I was never invited to the prom. And I said to my students, I don't care what. The prom is no longer a date event. It is a party. I want everybody to come. And by showing everybody our pictures in our most bizarre moments, and some of them got even better, this is where I showed them who everybody was. And then I actually added in one of my friends with her big hair, my other friend with her big white dress. She went to school in Atlanta. Let's see. Just, all of us in our most embarrassing, awkward moments. This is one of Matt's teachers, and you can't see, but he's in a leopard print cummerbund and bow tie. And I found, that this really engaged the kids. This really intrigued them. And that kind of started me on my whole foray into technology and using technology. And this was actually pretty cool. I just made a PowerPoint presentation. And what I did was I used iTunes and I just kind of started the music at the same time that I did the PowerPoint. It really wasn't hard, it just takes practice. So let me back up now and tell you about myself. Or about my goals and myself. I was in high school in 1984, I graduated college in 1988. So when I was in college, we were using computers, desktops to write papers, and that was it. Didn't use the internet. I did use the internet for the first time in the early 90s when it was just text-based and there was no Google and no Yahoo like Nils was saying in something yesterday. But I didn't really use it other than I loved to explore. I thought it was a lot of fun. But in terms of real technology, I never used it other than writing tests. We had one computer in the math office and we all used it to write our tests and we thought we were really cutting edge. So I started to realize that maybe technology could help me. My school year is less than 180 days because it's a private school and I teach my class is 4 days a week, 44-minute classes. That's not a lot of time. And teach an AP class like that, you are just under the gun. I have a lot of kids who've been diagnosed with learning style issues. Note-taking difficulties, auditory processing problems, visual processing problems. I then ended up with all my own personal kids. I have four kids, and I needed to be organized. And I kind of decided, I was going to start using technology to be organized. And the seven suggestions I'm going to give you first are just, and this is all available on my website, and I'll show you where my website is at the end. But these seven suggestions are kind of what I used. I ignored what the tech department told me for the most part, because I don't know about your school if you have a technology department, but they are throwing you into it without letting you experiment a little. They're like, you have to do a website, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And it was too much for many people in my school. They just shut down and didn't do anything. So I decided, using my own seven suggestions of technology, I would only pick one thing to do. And I would do it for 6 to 9 months, and I would do it well and make sure that I could do it without asking anyone for help. So the first year, it was PowerPoint presentations. It's all I did. The second year was I worked on my website, and I hooked my PowerPoints and my worksheets, which I already had done over the years, to my website. The third year was a calendar. All I did all year was write a calendar on my website for my classes to tell them what was going on. This year, all I did was podcasting. Because you know and I know we all have families, we have personal lives, and we have our school lives. And our school lives are so busy that if you try to do everything at once, you'll stop, you'll give up, you'll get frustrated. By limiting yourself, it's a lot easier to do. My second rule, or my second suggestion, is get to know your tech department. These are my two go-to people. We have a tech department of about 6 people, but these are my two best friends. Apu was a student at our school and came back and works for us, and Perla works there too. They are awesome, and I think one of the things you can learn by sitting with your tech department is the lack of respect some people in your school will have for them. They'll walk in and say, "This is broken and I need help now." If you respect them for the professionals they are, and listen to them and treat them the way you would expect your students to treat you, you'll get anything you want from them. I've been emailing them all week with ideas and questions and asking them, and they're wonderful because you know what? I recognize how busy they are. I never expect them to solve my problems immediately. I ask for them to solve my problems when they can. And Apu loves cookies. Oh my gosh. I make him cookies, he'll do anything. In your school, you'll be amazed at what other people can do. Also, people you meet at this conference. I mean, I'm really impressed with some of the really neat people I've met so far that have given me ideas, and I'm writing them down and already searching, Google searching them and finding their websites and saving them. Don't rely only on the techies to help you, but also look at the super users in your school. And that's a term I've heard used, and I think it's a great way to describe people who really immerse themselves in technology. Take notes. Now, I'm not saying you have to take notes here, because I'll have a lot of this stuff on my website, and you are welcome to take anything and everything from my website and use it. Like I said, my husband knows. My husband gets annoyed when I ask this. When you learn something, and this goes part and parcel with doing only one thing, adopt it immediately. I'm teaching my class as a first period, and I was talking to one of the participants, and she said, you know, the problem is every time I learn something, I never use it again. I learn it, and I learn it for that week I'm using it, and then I forget to go back and do it. That's why I really stress, pick that one thing to do. I'm showing a bunch of things. You can sit and think about everything, kind of reflect on it tonight if you want, and then say, you know what, I'm only going to do calendars, or I'm going to try to do a website through a blog. This I found is really true. If you find something out there, typically it's out there because they want to share. People don't publish things that they don't want other people to have access to. I don't know if you work with people that don't want to share. But if they're not going to share with you, they're not going to put it on the internet. I like to look at the contrapositive. If you put it on the internet, you want to share. A lot of times, if you're going to share it for anything big, you really want to contact the author and make sure it's okay. But as I'm saying to you, anything on my site, I've tried to be very good in all my PowerPoint presentations about citing. So those are all cited at the end of the PowerPoints. If it's out there on my page, you are welcome to it. I love the idea of the sharing of everything. And don't underestimate your ability. Practice, try things, make mistakes, read the Microsoft help notes. Sometimes those are pretty well written, sometimes they're not. But if you think you're doing something that's so hard and you're not going to be able to do it, put it aside and look for another solution. But we always love it when our kids can discover something on their own. The feeling of euphoria they get is the same feeling of euphoria you will get when you learn how to do something. I never went to a PowerPoint instructional workshop. I never went to an Excel. I just learned by experimenting. And that sometimes takes a glass of wine on a Friday night, my feet up, my laptop on my desk, on my lap, and just practicing. And it is a time commitment. One thing will be a time commitment, but once you get used to it, you'll get very good at it. Okay. What this is not, oh wait, did I skip my website? These are both the same accesses to my website. They get you the same exact place, so just pick one. And my email is just kcassidy@pingree.org. If you email me, I will email you any links you want, anything that you can't find. But these will get you to my website and to the website of my school, and you can kind of back out of it if you just go to pingree.org. There are some people on, at my school who have some pretty incredible websites. Mine, I like to think, is bare bones. Visually, it's got a lot of information, but it's not visually, wow, look at me, because otherwise it becomes too much. There's a guy who's got a great website, and I hate to slam him, his website is fantastic. It's got too much. It locks up my computer all the time, because he has Will Ferrell from the Saturday Night Live skit of I Need More Cowbell. He has him up there, and it locks up my website every time, or my computer every time. But he's got so much information. So, what I'd like to do now is show you my website, show you just some of the little things I do, how I do them, and then really concentrate on the end at some of the podcasting, which you might find more interesting. This is what I did for my class. Okay, so, and there's my iTunes. Let's go to Pingree's website. And academics, I'm in the math department, and I am right there. And this is a standard page that the school gave us for our websites. Everyone's page looks the same. Over on the left, that is the extent of the animation I have. If you go to a website that has a lot of animation, it may be a little bit too much. I find it too much. I think it's cute. Otherwise, I don't want to put a picture of myself up there. So I decided, I'll put something cute. And that's been up there since I started my website. Okay, so this is the Exeter Summer Course. I'll show you this at the end. If I forget, tell me. Where I really started was my Algebra 3 trig. That first year, I decided that PowerPoints would be the way to go. I did a couple, and my students came up to me like, oh my gosh, can I have those? And I was like, what are you talking about? They said, those are great, I don't have to take notes. And I said, well, you do have to take notes, because not everything is on that PowerPoint. They said, no, but I can use it, and it helps me keep my notes organized. So I realized, that the PowerPoint, the lectures, the kids could download them ahead of time, print them out, bring them to class, and use them as a backbone. Now, PowerPoint should never be the replacement of you. It should be the additional, the thing that helps you write a little bit less on the board or on the whiteboard. The thing that helps you do a little bit less and face to face a little more. I have, I meant to bring it, and I'm so annoyed that I didn't. I have a plug-in that's an infrared clicker, and I can click through, and like I'm able to do with you guys, I can look every kid in the eye, and I turn my back much less, and I lose track of kids much less. They can't goof off as much. So, and this has been years of putting this together. One of the first things I did, and again, I'm going to start with talking about PowerPoints, is I put my lectures up here. And this took me a long time. I'm not going to say that it didn't take a while. I did violate one of the rules of a website. You should never have to scroll down to see the whole page, but to put these on and ignore the stuff that says audio. I started mid-year and did a PowerPoint presentation, and they loved it. And then I did another one, and they loved it. So I began that summer taking my, what I call, magic notebook of all my lecture notes. And every night I would sit and give myself 1 hour. I had to do 1 hour of work. And I wrote a PowerPoint presentation. And believe it or not, by the end of the summer, I got my whole course on. You don't lecture 180 days. Take out test days, take out specials, take out review days. You really lecture a lot, not a lot less than you realize, but it's not nearly as bad as you expect. Now, let's say you teach an Algebra 2 or a trig course and you want, take mine, change it to fit you, and pass it off as your own. I'm fine with that. I don't steal, but I'm okay with stealing. So with a couple places I found it useful are, this is the should be hyperbole is day two. And my kids can click on it and save it. They can save it and then print it out. I'm going to open it instead, because the other thing they can do is just open it and watch it. And who this helps is the kid who maybe missed something on the board during class. It helps the kid who is absent. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of kids whose parents believe, hey, a week of vacation tucked on the beginning or end, that's not a bad idea. Here they go, they have the notes. And when you pair it with the podcast, they don't need to come see you nearly like they used to. So I made, and my first ones were very bare bones, but I found it allowed me to do things like show formulas, talk about, reference things we did the day before, that was really easy. Animation in PowerPoint is really easy. You click something and you click what's called custom animation, and it allows you to turn things, make things pop up, make things disappear. Again, what you do though is start with something small, just a bare bones, and see what you can do to dress it up. And so with these PowerPoints, I was able to go through, and what I'm going to skip through to is show you when I do sample problems. This is something I believe very firmly in. Notice, this is not enough. This is kind of what we're talking about, but we're expanding on it in conversation. I make sure to get up, and I'm really trying to slow myself down. When I get excited, I talk really, really, really fast. And I see the kids going, like, stop, stop, slow down. This forces me to remind myself that as I click, I got to make sure and look at every kid and make sure they are back up engaged with me, not trying to scramble and write. And if the kid is a poor note taker, you can take them aside and say, you know what? If you want these, I'll teach you how to download them and how to print them double-sided and how to print three to a page. And you can come in with half the notes done. And usually that kid appreciates that you've noticed that they're struggling a little. This is just some stuff I have come in. When I do my examples, I never put the answers on the PowerPoint. Why? Because then the kid who misses class never comes in to see you. Oh, I had the examples I thought I got at the day of the test. Oh, I don't get it. Oh, and I'm like, too bad, too bad. So this keeps me doing some hardcore teaching. Okay, let's go back. I'm trying to think if there were any other good PowerPoints that I wanted to show you. My statistics. I'll just go out of here for a second.
What program did you use to draw the hyperboles?
Yeah, on the bottom of PowerPoint, they actually have a draw program. But the other thing you can do, I've learned this, is you can do it, are you familiar with Sketchpad? Okay, you can do it in Microsoft Word. You know how Microsoft Word has this little, and you can just draw something. A real thing you can do is you can cut and paste things from the internet and plop them in as pictures. I mean, the thing is, the possibilities are endless with what you can do. This one is, let's see, is this mine? No, sorry. Stats chapter 2. I'm teaching stats for the first time this year. And so this summer, my job is to get my whole course together. And I'll be honest, I am very nervous about teaching stats, very unlike everything I've ever done. But I think I'll love it. People keep telling me I'll love it.
I'm the exact same, but I'm going to teach for the first time.
Oh, I'll show you what I have so far. You can have it and see if you like it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm totally, I attack everyone I find out is teaching stats. I'm like, I want to have dinner with you. I think I creep them out, but that's okay. So what I did for this one, I decided, you know, I wanted to make it, there's a lot of, just the first couple of chapters are a lot of dry data or definitions and stuff like that. So what I did was I went out on the internet and I found all these really cool examples of bar graphs. And I thought, good Lord, could you imagine trying to draw a bar graph with all the information that you really have to show the kids, or say, this is what a bar graph looks like, and you pop up. Talked about what a bar graph is, and then Pareto charts, I believe is the pronunciation. My book covers them. I don't think all of them do. Circle graphs, and again, kind of things that are interesting to them. They'll recognize Sage, Firefox, Google Desktop log lines, and rap alternative rock and roll country. I mean, I can fool myself and say, oh, I'm really right there with the kids. We're not. I mean, they're kids. I'm an adult. There is that difference between us, and there should be that difference between us. But if I can make it a little bit more interesting to them, it does engage them. And what I found was really neat about this one, I think it's, I go through, and I reference everything at the end. Now, I'm not sure about using this year to year. My father claims I have to contact the authors and ask if I can use them, but I'm not publishing this. This is just for my kids. They could find it on the internet, so I may be. Then I went into histograms, different kinds of histograms, frequency. And again, remember, this was because I've spent years doing this. So if you want to do PowerPoint presentations, give yourself the 6 to 9 months to get used to it. Where you will be at 6 months, you will be nowhere close to where you were at the beginning. I then found on the internet, and I'm skipping through because I want to get to this, because this was so, it was down here. I was talking about dot plots. And this guy was, and I just kind of did a thing about dot plots, and I start reading this guy's blog, and he's like, I really wonder how many songs in my library are unplayed. And I'm like, you know, it's really funny because I think that sometimes because I've got so many songs. And he's like, I wrote some Python scripts. I have no idea what Python scripts are. But I took it out as a quote and I showed what he created. And then I talked about what he was, this is more of his quote. And he looked at a dot plot. Again, what does it do? It kind of connects the dry statistics to their iPod that's in their pocket right now and says, hey, you know what, people use it for doing some interesting things. Okay, so again, I'm still in the beginning of statistics. I use it for calculus. I have my kids trained, so they walk in, we put the problems on the board that they need to see, we call out the problems. I do too, they do everything else. It doesn't end up on the board, it's not on the board, and I get through the homework typically in at most 15 minutes. They're up on the board, they're writing, sometimes they do it in teams. That gives me, in my school, about 30 minutes, which is kind of a luxury. And with PowerPoint, I rarely have trouble getting through what I consider a complete lecture. There are days where things go wrong, but for the most part, it allows me to get through everything I need to get through within the time frame. Okay. I use Excel. This was my next thing to do. What's the first thing we do the first day of the month or the first day of the year? We hand out an assignment sheet to every kid in class. If you've had a book for a long time, you have the assignment, or sometimes we don't even do assignment sheets. My kids now their first night assignment is to find the assignment sheet, which I did as Excel, and then I cut and pasted it into a website. You can still do it in Excel and just hand it to them. And if you know how to use blogs, you can do it as a blog and do an attached page. My kids now know that if there is a lecture, there is an assignment. And I never, ever announce homework, ever. I never have to say, okay, 1.4, page 29, 13 through 20. Never. They know to look it up. If they ask me what it is, I always say, I'm like, I have no idea, look at the website. And they'll get it from somebody else in the class. Again, what does it say? 30 seconds at the end of class. But it's that aggravating 30 seconds of the five kids who aren't listening because they're packing up their stuff or having a conversation. You've said the homework assignment, those five kids are like, oh, I didn't hear it, can you repeat it? That's done. I don't have to tell them that anymore. Another thing you can do with Excel, and this is just literally making, you know, a cute little schedule, is my kids now know what my schedule is. Not only do my kids know what my schedule is, the parents know what my schedule is. I teach in an independent school that is very expensive. Ergo, I have a lot of helicopter parents. Pumpkin says he can never see you. And I popped this up on Parents' Day and said, you know, unfortunately for Pumpkin, I think he can. Because I get to school at 7:30 because my kids take the bus from our campus to the other campus. On free times during our assemblies, we can meet. I have before lunch free. I will eat lunch with him. I have this period free. We've come. Oh, thanks. And I know Pumpkin gets an earful when Mom goes home from and parents always come, and parents will walk out and say, I wish I had you as a teacher. And all it is because things are organized. If they see things are organized, they think their kids are going to succeed. Now, we know they may or may not, but it gives them a better chance at succeeding. So this is, and again, this is something that If you want me to send you the Excel of what I did, all I did was I made little borders around a couple of cells and I filled in. And then I filled the whole cells in with some colors so that the kids who take my calc class and know and come in late to school, they know they could actually come in and sit in on my third period instead if they miss the bus or something. Then last year I added calendars. And this, I never anticipated how great this would be. By adding the calendar, every kid knows what we did in class, when the review days are, and when the test days are. And what's really great about this is I don't announce tests anymore. I would forget to, and I don't know about you guys, I forget to announce things. I get so focused on my lecture, and then a kid asks you a question, and you get kind of wrapped up. I would forget to announce tests all the time. And I'm not real good about getting in the classroom and writing things ahead of time, and I don't have my own classroom, I share. I have yet now to announce a test. Kids will say, when's the test? And someone, you'll have four or five really, I hate to say they're all usually girls, but in my case, they're usually girls, nice and organized. They'll be like, there's a test coming up next week. It's on Thursday. And there it is, your PSA, your public service announcement in the front row. Thank you, Georgia. And then I have yet, now that I've used calendars for 2 years, to have anyone say, I didn't know there was a test. Doesn't happen anymore. Because they know that I say the first day, check the website. Once they get in the habit of checking the website, they're actually in the habit of printing it out. And they print out this calendar so they know what it is. You never have to announce a test again. And what this allows, actually, is allows you to be real flexible. Just as a matter of how I teach, I do a review day, and then I have about a week, what I call a buffer, so the kids can come in and see me. I say, you know what, life is about learning things and still doing other things and building on it. So I put those buffer days in. I never review test ever. I review, give those buffer days, test, so the kids can see, all right, we're reviewing on Wednesday. I'm out on Thursday anyway, but I can see her Friday because I can't see her Monday because of orchestra. So I'm going to go in on Friday and see her. Lets them be organized. Again, it sets them up for a little bit more success than I think we were set up for when we were kids.
Can you do that with all levels?
Yeah, I do it. That's why I pick one thing and I only do that one thing. So to do calculus, I'm teaching statistics for the first time. I used to teach senior analysis. So to do a sometimes your classes will perfectly coincide and you can use one calendar. Because of our rotating drop schedule, I have to use a different calendar for each of my classes. Now you'll notice this one ended at the 11th because we had the AP exam and our classes in the school drop, the seniors go on an independent project, so we don't teach past the AP. But I can update from home, so the day we were on a snow day, I actually was at home, I logged in and I updated and told them we had a snow day, and I moved everything off a day. And this is not without, this is not a quick thing to do, but once you get used to it, it becomes very, very easy. I have now, that year I started my website, and I want to get onto the podcasting real very soon, but I then started linking all my review sheets, and I don't know, my kids always want a little extra review, and I've been teaching 18 and a half years. I started right typing them up, so I link the original, and I link its supplement. And so the kids know if they want more review, they go online and get it. Saves me, I don't photocopy anything except tests anymore. That's all I photocopy. Even review sheets, I'll have 50% of the kids come in with it photocopied themselves. They're like, well, I was bored this weekend or I wanted to get a little ahead on it. Give them the opportunity to be organized, and they typically run with it. So let's see. I have some websites, Dr. Math. I have actually asked to be a submitter on Dr. Math, and they told me I could be Dr. Katie, but I actually never did. I hadn't got so wrapped up in doing my stats, I haven't gotten back to it. I have College Board on here. One year I had the kids make up a set of midterm hints. I gave them each an index card and said, if you were to tell any kid, don't forget this for the midterm, what would it be? And so they all wrote something down. They had it as part of their homework assignment. And then I just typed it all up. I saved it as a document on my website. I forget about it. I mean, this was from at least 4 years ago. And the kids will download it themselves. They'll investigate, they'll find it, and they love it. But like I said, this is a lot. I've been doing this since I think my youngest two were born, which was 7 years ago. Working slowly, the documents first, then a couple years later, the PowerPoints, then everything else. if you try to do all this at once, like I said, you'll have no social life at all. Yeah, I know. But that Friday night with a glass of wine, you'd be amazed what you can get done. By the third glass of wine, though, your PowerPoints are terrible. Stop. I found they were getting a little bizarre. Oh, and then I added, this was this year. My wonderful, wonderful friend in the technology, Perla, said to me, what do you think about podcasting? And I was like, you know what? I'll try anything. I'm game to it. This is all you need to record your class. An iPod and an extra little piece. I have the Belkin, it's called a Belkin Tune Talk. My school bought me this piece. I used my own iPod when I first started. It went so well, and of course, the fact that colleges are doing podcasting made the front page of the Star Legend, which is our local New Jersey paper, made the front page of the paper. So now everyone in the school thinks we're really awesome. They bought me a video iPod for our department. I'm the only one who does it though. You need this. And you need this, and you need a piece of software to convert it from WAVE to MP3. WAVEs are very huge files. MP3s are much smaller, and I'm going to show you some stuff with that. But all I do is record it, load it in, convert it, link it. And Georgia, my wonderful girl in the front row, oh, I love Georgia. She's adorable. This is, she missed a day. She opened up the PowerPoint. I don't remember what day it was. Just try this one. And I'll play it for you. She opened the PowerPoint, opened the audio, and sat and went through the PowerPoint and listened to me lecture as she went through the PowerPoint. The next day she walked in. This may be, I'm having a little trouble opening things up today, and I'm not sure why. But she loved it. She said, oh my gosh, I don't need to see you. I got everything. Then a week later, someone said, you know what, I have just two questions. I listened to the whole thing, everything makes sense except these two example problems. This is what I did as you were working in class, why did I get it wrong? Like, oh my God. I didn't have to re-lecture for 20 minutes to the one kid who missed class. And I apologize, I don't know why these aren't working, but I have some on my desk. Now the sound quality isn't great when I broadcast it, but the kids don't need it to broadcast. They actually don't even put it in their iPod. They plug in their headphones, they listen at their computer as they go through the PowerPoint, and that's all they need. It's disposable for them. It's unlike music. Again, I apologize, I don't know why this is not working, but so let me get into a little bit more of the podcasting. On my website, sorry, let me go back to that for a second. Thank you all for being so attentive. I really appreciate this. I was very nervous. This is my first time teaching teachers. I'm very nervous.
You don't have to worry about anybody not having a computer.
The kids can access it in school. We have school computers. Our school is an affluent school. For the most part, they can access these even at the library. And our kids who are on scholarships usually are given, they're part of some programs that provide them with the money to give them things you need. Be amazed how many people don't have computers.
Yeah, I mean, at my school, I'm assuming probably 90% of them have some kind of computer access. And we're piloting new textbooks next year, and a lot of them come up with online or CD-ROM editions.
Yes.
And I'd love to not have to carry that huge book around.
I think it's a great idea. I think you have to talk to your school about what do you do for that 10%, because that's really something. Are you in an independent school or a public school?
Public school.
You have to talk to them about the funding for those kids, because those kids do, as they say, get left behind, and you don't want to leave them. Here is my link to an Exeter summer course that has essentially what I've been doing for my class so far. PowerPoint is all the hints on how do I do a PowerPoint presentation. The Excel file is what we did in class, and I'm going to link up all my other documents. There's a document on here that's going to be about the podcasting. But what I'll show you is how you do it. There are really two programs that I have found so far for converting. One is called Audacity, and one is called a free MP3 WMA converter. And in the document, in fact, I'll just open the document and show it to you, I list the links to both of them. After playing around with it last night, I'm going to recommend Audacity, and I'll show you why. But I find Audacity very easy to work with. I literally learned it last night. Someone showed me once, it took me 10 minutes, and it really wasn't that hard. I think it's very well written and well designed. But essentially for podcasting, and I'm calling it podcasting, which is actually not right, because it is MP3s. I don't want the kids to even put these on their iPods. But if they want to, they can convert it back to a WAV. Kids know how to do that kind of stuff. They'll convert it back to WAV. Oh my gosh, I'm almost done, aren't I?
Okay.
So essentially what you need are these two pieces. And if you internet search Griffin Pro Microphone or Belkin Microphone, you'll find them. iPod Store sells them, Apple sells them, and you can get them all over online. And essentially all I do is I plug it in, and when I plug it in, it gives me a menu that says record or stop. And I press the button in the middle, I just press this, and I record. And I just keep going on with class. And then when I'm done, I press it.